That's right. It's your Friday night tradition. Welcome in Chase and TD here on ESPN 102.5, the game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. What's going on? Chase McCabe and ESPN Titan NFL Nation reporter Teron Davenport here with you. TD.
Yes.
What's up?
Once again, back in the house. Let's do it, man.
I don't know if your mic is working. Let's try again. You got
mic check.
We don't have TD. What's going on? We're having some technical difficulties here right now.
How about now?
Yeah, now we got you.
How you like me now? Yes. You know what? Jared and he brought the hot take, the fire take Friday, I guess.
Yeah.
Was a little too much for
you
the
burn
mic.
Burn out the mic.
That's all right, but we're here now. We called a little audible and
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Omaha.
We
went Omaha.
Yeah. That's what we did, so. Let's do it, man. Yeah. I'm ready to go, man.
So, for the first time in a while, we're talking about a loss.
Yeah.
Titans coming off a close one against the Houston Texans. They fall 24-21 last Sunday at Nissan Stadium. And, you know, look, was it a must win? No, but it was pretty close because now the Titans find themselves in a position where they really got to win out and they need some help, but we'll get into the playoff scenarios a little bit later on in the show. I want to focus on this game in particular. You had some freak plays in this one that really changed things.
But the freak
plays. And I'm allergic to those, apparently.
Went on both sides, though. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, they did. Because you have that first quarter where Tannehill, you know, they're driving. He throws a pick right in the end zone. Jonnu Smith, my man, comes in, makes a huge tackle. You have Deshaun Watson that threw a pick as they're driving, which I guess happened before the Tannehill pick. But you have two plays right there that probably should have been six for the offense, and the ball ends up going the other way. Kenny Vaccaro, fantastic read.
Really excellent. And not only the read, just the disguise, the range. That was an awesome play. You'll hear a breakdown of that on Talking with TD, by the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, they did a really good job of just rolling into that cover, too. He came off of that post up there. And did an awesome job picking it off.
Then you have the Titans that are trying to get on the board. They set up for the field goal. It gets blocked. Look, you go back and watch that. Ryan Succop, something hasn't been right all year. He's one of six, I think, since he came back from injured reserve. They place him on IR. He's done for the season. They bring in Greg Joseph now, who will kick the rest of the way. But it was a low kick. I mean, it was... I didn't think it had a chance to begin with, and it got blocked. That's 10 points right there.
I don't know that it didn't have a chance. I will agree that it was low, but there was some penetration up front, too.
There was.
So that kind of accounted for it, too.
So
but you're right.
You can give some credit.
He's not right. Succop just wasn't right, and clearly that's the case with him going on IR.
It was the right move to shut him down for the year, but my point is that's 10 points that got left off the board for the Titans. They have those 10 points. They win the game.
At the same time, there were 14 points wiped off the board, you know, because that interception, we talked about the Kenny Vaccaro one, the outstanding one, but then Jayon Brown was Johnny on the spot too. But
Jeff Simmons.
Simmons, exactly, getting that push and then having the awareness to stop that push. When he saw he wasn't going to get home, he stopped, he put his hands up. Coach McGinnis, Coach Mack, he did an awesome breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
I said it on Twitter Live or Periscope, whatever you want to call it. But make sure you guys check that out on Titans Online because Coach Mack, he does the thing, man, beneath the surface.
Oh, yeah. He's awesome and just a wealth of knowledge. But, look, this was a fun football game to watch because you had big moments like that. You had the defense making those types of plays. But the fact of the matter is the Titans didn't get the win and – it puts him in a tough spot going into this weekend. But there were some things that we liked. Derrick Henry, I'll start with him. We know about the hamstring. He didn't practice at all last week.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell. You could tell he was hampered by it. He was not 100%. I'd say 70% maybe, 75. But there was that 23-yard run. I think a healthy 100% Derrick Henry takes that a lot farther, maybe to the house.
Yeah, a healthy Derrick Henry easily scores on that one.
And then they get down to the goal line, and I think
he didn't have the push. But on that run, though, let's talk about that run before we move on to the next one. You could see he didn't have that explosiveness that he normally has. And he's a guy, man. He gets to that second level, he's usually gone. It's chucking the deuces, and he's on his way to the end zone. So that's something that you have to watch even for this upcoming week, because that hamstring thing, man, it could be feeling good, and then next thing you know, that thing jumps on you and is right back to the drawing board.
So, you know, I'm wondering what he's going to look like this week. I know he was limited and then had participated in practice some. He's actually not listed as questionable or anything on
that's
the injury report,
thing.
So that's good. So maybe things are getting better, but you could definitely tell he was hampered. Now, at the same time, you had Jonnu Smith carry the ball for 57 yards on that play. That was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
A.J. Brown continues to be the dude for this team. So there were some good things. It just I chalk it up as maybe some missed opportunities, a couple of mistakes that ended up costing the Titans the win.
Yeah, and that happens every week. You know, mm-hmm. there's the ball bounces to the left. Okay, you know, it's a win. It bounces to the right. It's a loss. That seems to happen consistently with this team. But going back to Jonnu and that 57-yard carry that he had, it's funny because it's something he and Arthur Smith kind of joked about it, and they were able to put it in. And Jonnu has different type of speed for a tight end. You know what I mean? And I'm not talking about the measured speed. I'm talking about the field speed, the speed mm-hmm. that matters, not the speed running on the track. And he's a guy that just seems to be able to consistently pull away from defenses, and he runs so strong. That particular play, though, is something that I have to point out, because Jack Conklin had a couple really good blocks on that play. And Jack Conklin, it's funny because we always talk about, okay, you know what? There are going to be around 20 contracts expiring.
Yep.
And one of the ones we always talk about moving on is Jack Conklin.
Yep.
And I'll tell you.
You're reading my mind because you knew what I was about to ask you.
Man, I just don't. If they could get it manageable, bring him back. But the problem is his play, I think, has basically he outplayed the value that he's going to get on the market, right?
Yeah.
As far as being back with the Titans. Lane Johnson, $18 million a year, that deal. You know, then you got, was it Collins, Lyle Collins at $10 million. So
right.
There's a lot of wiggle room for negotiation to wiggle up, wiggle down. I just don't know that this team can pay him.
You can't pay
that
everybody.
Money. Exactly.
That's the
you
problem.
You can't pay her. And you have to weigh, okay, if you lose this guy, if you lose Logan Ryan, what type of penalties does that have to the team? If you lose Ryan Tannehill, you lose Derek. I think if you look at all those, the expensive contracts, I think Conklin becomes the most that you can move on from.
I mean, it stinks, but that's probably what's going to happen because, I mean, we had Alan Bell in here from Sportsline,
mm-hmm.
and we had a fun discussion, spent an hour about, you know, well, what do you do with Tannehill? Okay, well, if you do that, then what do you do with Derrick Henry? Okay, well, if you do that, then what does that mean for Logan Ryan? I mean, there's cause and effect to everything. And that also affects the draft because the guys that you don't bring back, okay, are those positions that you already have somebody on the roster that you can replace? For right tackle, unless you re-sign Dennis Kelly, the answer would be no. I mean, you'd have to address that, whether it's free agency or bringing Kelly back or the draft. I mean, I don't know.
Here's
cornerback is, you know, you have some guys, maybe LaShawn Sims, but they're not Logan Ryan.
Really good offensive linemen typically don't become available. So Conklin, I think, is going to be a rare case of that. But my thing is, if you lose Conklin, I'm not sure that you could address that position in free agency as far as getting a starter. You could address it by bringing back Kelly and seeing how that works, but then you have to go back, and now you have to get a really good reserve swingman. You know what I mean?
Because that's the problem, because if you're starting Dennis Kelly at right tackle, you lose what could be one of the biggest pickups, best pickup that Robinson has made.
Yeah, oh yeah, he flees Philly for that one. But at the same time, the cornerback position, here's the thing that's pretty good about the corners. I'm not saying let Logan go. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is this draft is pretty deep on cornerback. So, look, man, we could go so much further into this. We don't have time to get all
on. I was looking at mock drafts today.
Hey, listen, I've been writing up mock drafts, like writing them down since,
did you see McShay's?
Since October.
Did you see McShay's that came out a few days ago?
What I mean, I've seen so many. Was he the one that had Swift going?
Yeah. 21st overall.
Yeah, that's interesting. DeAndre Swift is a guy we clearly have talked about a lot.
I love DeAndre Swift, but I don't like that. I don't like taking a backup running back with my first pick.
No, that's a roster that has an abundance of riches.
Yeah.
And I don't think this roster has an abundance of riches. So
I agree.
No.
See, we always can get off on a tangent when we start talking about contracts and drafts and things like that. Two games left to play at least for the Tennessee Titans. Real quick, before we get to Mike Triplett, who covers the Saints for ESPN, defensively, we already talked about Vaccaro, but that fourth quarter, Watson and Hopkins got together, and that was ultimately the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I'm not sure what Hopkins had over 100 yards, but I will say around 70 of that came on two plays.
Yep.
And they do an awesome job of using their players to their strengths. Fuller runs the post route. You got to dig underneath. You put the safety in the bind. You can't cover two guys, you know, and they took advantage of that. And then also what we talked about over and over again was the extending plays where you had Hopkins running across the middle on that dig route. He saw Watkins reverse. He slammed on the brakes and he cut back. And that was a 35-yard gain.
Yep.
So, look, man, they contained him for the most part. All plays matter. So, at the end of the day, they didn't contain him, you know what I mean, because it led to the loss. But, you know, they have another task on their hand with Michael Thomas this week.
Oh, yes, they do, and we'll get into that. But DeAndre Hopkins, his longest was 35. Will Fuller, his longest was 31. We call those chunk plays. And also, by the way, props to Deshaun Watson because the pass rush was getting there, but he got away.
Exactly.
And that just shows you how good he is. He is Teron Davenport. I am Chase McCabe. It's Chase and TD. When we come back, we will chat with ESPN Saints reporter Mike Triplett. That is all next. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Chase and TD, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Teron Davenport here with you as we get you ready for Saints and the Titans.
Coming
up Sunday. Let's say hello to Mike Triplett. He covers the Saints for ESPN. Mike, how's it going?
I'm excited to come to Nashville. You know, the way the NFL calendar works, you only go to these AFC cities once every 8 years. So I can't even remember that last game. But I know it must have gone well for the Saints because they were pretty good in that 2011 season.
Yeah, it's definitely been a while. But let's start with your quarterback, who's also pretty good. I mean, we all saw the performance Monday night against the Colts. He breaks the record. He only missed on one pass. I mean, this guy showing no signs of slowing down as he even missed some time, really, which hasn't happened much in his career. He comes back from the injury and just, you know, lights it up still. Drew Brees continues to show he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Well, I'm taking the over on 1.5 incompletions this week. I don't know if you guys have a book on that, but it's going to be interesting because he hasn't been lighting it up this year, and he does. I don't totally understand it because he's a guy who mostly throws short passes. He's very efficient. He's about to break his own record for completion percentage for the fourth time, and you know, so he doesn't rely on throwing it down the field in the dome all that much. But his numbers are way better at home than they are on the road. So I'm curious if he can keep up this hot streak and look like the same guy who had maybe his best performance ever, certainly on a short list of his top two or three performances against the Colts. I'm curious what he's going to look like, you know, just 6 days later at Tennessee. But if he's found some hot streak, because obviously he was good the week before at home against San Francisco when they lost 48-46, if this is what he's doing now, then this team could just become a steamroller.
What's been obviously a lot of fans around here, you know, Tennessee fans, Vols fans follow Alvin Kamara and what he has done during his time in New Orleans. I think I just took TD's question. I'm sorry. 678 yards on the ground, though. He hasn't been quite as effective, and I know he's battled some injuries, but still somebody to respect out of the backfield.
Yeah, he's really interesting because it feels like he's really close, and every week I keep thinking, oh, this will probably be the week he goes off and everybody stops worrying about him, and it just hasn't happened since he came back. Like you said, he had both ankle and knee injuries. He was sidelined for two games. He was kind of limited the week before. he missed two games. He was kind of limited the week after he came back. But other than that, he's playing the same number of snaps. He's getting the same number of touches. And he's just not quite breaking it. I think the area where you notice it most, obviously, is touchdowns. He only has two this year if you're at like 18 last year. But also, he became sort of legendary for always making the first guy miss, breaking that first tackle, whether he made the guy miss or whether he, you know, got through an arm tackle. And he's not making that first guy miss. It could be a combination of he's not quite 100%. Defenses are just swarming to him because they know he's the game breaker they have to stop. But he's just off by a little bit. I mean, he's still averaging almost the same yards per carry as he did last year. Same number of big plays, same number of catches. He might even have the most catches he's ever had this year. But he's just off by a hair, and they would love to tap into it before the playoffs start.
One of the other guys that they're getting involved is, I mean, I call him the Joker, right? Taysom Hill. How did that whole idea come about? I mean, you see them using him in so many different ways. Do you know how they got on that track, got on that bandwagon to get him out there like that?
Well, it keeps evolving, Tron, and it was really awesome to watch it develop. I mean, I thought he was going to win the backup quarterback job last year, and he kind of struggled in the preseason as a passer, which he did a lot better this preseason. And they have not given up on the idea. Sean Payton even compared him to Steve Young having a slow start, you know. But Sean Payton never shook the idea that, gosh, I like some of the things this guy can do, and you really got to give credit to Sean Payton because he's got Drew Brees at quarterback, and nobody thinks you ever want to take the ball out of Drew Brees' hands. But Peyton's like, I think he thought, you know, if Taysom was ever my quarterback, this is what my playbook would look like. Well, why don't I take my 10 favorite Taysom Hill plays and incorporate them anyway? And a lot of it is read option stuff. And frankly, a lot of the success comes from the read option stuff when he's running the ball or pitching it or handing it to Alvin Kamara. He throws the ball a lot because they have to keep defenses honest. They haven't really hit on a lot of his throws, but he also will line up at tight end and wide receiver and catch the ball a lot too. He has a ton of touchdown catches. They just know they have a football player, and they don't want to waste it.
Yeah, and even you see him lining up like in that tight split, coming down and making a block. Like the dude does everything. But speaking of guys that do everything. Man, Michael Thomas, you know, I've always been a big Marvin Harrison fan, so I hate what is about to happen. But how did this guy?
You can like at least hope that the record doesn't get broken in week 16, and he has to wait till week 17 to break it.
Hey, man, it's going to happen at some point. So my question to you, though, is, I mean, you got to see him during training camp for his whole time in the league. Kenny Vaccaro just preaches so much about the mindset that he has and the work ethic that he has. What have you seen that's actually special enough to make a fellow NFL player really rave about his work ethic?
Well, it's true. I mean, and I understand why Kenny says the things he says, because I've covered this team for 15 years now and the league for almost 20 years, and he's rare. I mean, his like intense passion, and he sort of, you know, at this point, he's manufacturing a chip on his shoulder because you can't find anybody who doesn't say good things about him anymore. Yeah. But, you know, obviously he was a second-round draft pick, and he wasn't originally, you know, he's an L.A. kid that wasn't recruited by USC and had to go to, you know, military institute before he got recruited by Ohio State, fellow the second round. So, you know, he felt like he had a lot of people to prove wrong, and he just takes that mentality with him. He is just this intense, I got to prove it guy. And, you know, Drew Brees has always talked about how he treats every practice rep like it's a Super Bowl. He said Darren Sproles was the same way, and he said it's just rare to see that in a guy. And even after he signed, you know, for about a week, he was the highest paid receiver in NFL history until Julio Jones signed his new deal shortly afterward. But it hasn't slowed him down at all. And, I think he wants to break every record there is. He always says the right things about, first and foremost, he wants to win the Super Bowl, but he wants to win the Super Bowl by being a guy that Drew Brees can rely on. He always says, I want to make Drew Brees right. If you see this one-handed catch he made last week, it was sort of the signature catch of his season. And the thing I cannot explain, though, is the Saints have a lack of weapons on this offense. It's Thomas, then it's Alvin Kamara, then it's Jared Cook, who's finally come on strong after a slow start. None of the other receivers are producing consistently. So every defense, every week, knows we've got to put all our resources on stopping Michael Thomas, and no one does it. Yeah. I have no idea how.
We're talking to Mike Triplett. He covers the Saints for ESPN. And I one of my favorite coaches in the league has been Sean Payton pretty much since he got to New Orleans. And I watch him over the years, and they win the Super Bowl, of course, when Breeze is there in 2009. Then you had the whole Bounty Gate thing, and he gets a suspension, comes back. Okay, looks like they were picking up where they left off, and then there were three straight years of 7-9. And I think some people thought, okay, maybe this ride is over. Why has he been able to turn it back around and have three straight years of competing for Super Bowls again, losing in the conference final, and we know the fashion in which they lost last year, and seeming to be on track at possibly making a run at it again this year? How has he been able to evolve?
Yeah, look, it's a story that I'm actually playing in for the playoffs. I mean, they've really sort of rebuilt this team without ever tanking. I mean, they haven't had a top 10 pick in that stretch, and they've been kind of up against the salary cap a lot. They recognized what you said. They recognized that things had to change. They made some pretty bold trades, trading away Jimmy Graham for a first-rounder, trading away Brandon Cooks for a first-rounder, trying to rebuild their offensive line and their defense. A huge part of it was a couple of draft classes they had. I mean, their 2017 draft class is an all-timer. It was Marshawn Lattimore, two-time Pro Bowler in the first round, Ryan Ramczyk, a second-team All-Pro at offensive tackle in the first round last year, Alvin Kamara in the third round, Marcus Williams in the second round that year, Michael Thomas the year before that, Sheldon Rankins the year before that. So their draft classes have helped quite a bit. But also, sticking with, they knew they had the right coach, they knew they had the right quarterback, and they just, had to retool a little bit. It's funny because I'm a big Cubs fan, and I've watched the Cubs get rid of Joe Maddon, and I couldn't help but make the comparison. We know this guy is good. We know everybody wants him. You just got to get him the right players and have a little patience with him, and the Saints obviously did that.
So, you've covered this team for 15 years, so you've been there in the Breeze era. His contract's up after this year. I know a lot of people asked the question. You saw what Teddy Bridgewater did in his absence. Does it have to be a Super Bowl win for it to be it? Or do you think this is it no matter what? Or do you think he comes back?
He's coming back. Look, you saw him Monday night. I mean, 29-30, four touchdowns. This guy's not ready to hang it up yet. Maybe a Super Bowl win if he has this picture in his mind that he knows he'll never be able to walk away. So if he ever wins a Super Bowl, he'll make himself walk away. But no, if they don't win the Super Bowl this year, he's not done yet. Bridgewater is interesting because Bridgewater can be patient. He just turned 26. I know that, it's funny. I thought Tennessee might be a possible destination for him before Tannehill started lighting up. But I think one thing Bridgewater really appreciates is he's in the right spot. He turned down a chance to become Miami's starting quarterback this offseason because that wasn't the right spot. And good for him that he got five starts to go 5-0 and prove that, yeah, this is the right system for him. I think there are opportunities that can come along, whether it's a guaranteed starting job, a good team, enough money where he'd have to leave. But he can be really, really picky. Even if he thinks Drew Brees might play two or three more years, he could still be a starter for 10 years here. And it's a good situation for him.
So before we let you go, I mean, we got to talk a little bit about the defense. And my question for you is, with Von Bell out, Gardner Johnson, he had a really good game last week. What can fans expect to see from this Saints safety group with him as the starter, if he is playing, because I believe he's listed as questionable?
Yeah, I think he's going to come back from a concussion because he was back on the practice field as early as Wednesday in the red non-contact jersey. So he has to clear the concussion protocol, but I do think he's going to be back. But obviously, look, Von Bell was having a career-best season, former second-round pick, who's in his fourth year now. So as good as Gardner Johnson has been as a rookie, and he's sort of been playing that big nickel role, dime back role, and then played great when he replaced Bell as a starting strong safety last week. You know, you'd love to have Bell and Gardner Johnson on the field. So they're down a man there. They're down a man at linebacker with middle linebacker Kiko Alonso not playing. They're down two men on the defensive line with Sheldon Rankins and Marcus Davenport going on injured reserve last week. So this defense has been great. You know, they've gone 40 straight games without allowing a 100-yard rusher, by far the longest streak in the league. And it's going to be very much put to the test against Derrick Henry. So I was impressed. They were down most of those guys last week, too, when they held the Colts to 7 points, and it was a touchdown in the final minutes. It was almost a shutout. So there's still a lot of talent and a lot of pride on this defense. But Derrick Henry is going to put that streak to the test. I'm very curious to watch it.
He is Mike Triplett. He covers the Saints for ESPN. Hey, Mike, we appreciate it as always. We look forward to reading your work this weekend and also whenever the Sean Payton to Dallas rumors start again, because they don't ever seem to go away. We look forward to hearing about that, too.
He did sign a new extension in September, so it's possible that he won't even be listed as a candidate.
I hope not. I don't think he's leaving New Orleans. I think he's there as long as he wants to be. Hey, we appreciate it. We'll see you Sunday.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Mike Triplett from ESPN covers the Saints for them. When we come back, you'll hear from Kenny Vaccaro. TD caught up with him, and also we'll talk about Drew Brees. We'll do that next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Danger! Danger! Ooh!
We're back. Chase and TD. Is this mystical?
Yeah.
Chase and TD, Chase McCabe, here with you. Ron Davenport, and we'll hear from Kenny Vaccaro here in just a second. But Utah State, Kent State, the Tropical Smoothie Cafe Frisco Bowl just kicked off. And why are we bringing this up on Chase and TD?
Because Jordan Love is playing.
Jordan Love, Utah State, their quarterback.
I cannot wait to go down to Mobile and see him. And I'm going to give you guys a preview. He will be a guest on Talking with TD this draft season. You know, we're gonna hit this quarterback thing hard. I plan to bring you guys a lot of guests, specifically quarterbacks. So,
well, I look forward to it. And look, I've looked at some mocks, first rounder, and you've said it. You feel like he could be
first round talent.
Yeah. So obviously a long way to go in that, but good stuff from Mike Triplett on the Saints.
Yeah, definitely good stuff, man. I always like talking shop with Mike Triplett. You know. He's one of the guys that I got to know pretty well, you know, in this NFL Nation group. I think the whole crew is cool, but he's one of the guys I got to spend a little bit more time with. So I was definitely happy to get him on.
You mentioned Kenny Vaccaro in that interview, and I know we'll hear from him in just a second, but the former Saint looking forward to going up against his old team.
Yeah, he was so complimentary of Michael Thomas and Drew Brees. He called Drew Brees actually the model player. When I talked to him, you're going to see some of the things or hear some of the things that made him call Drew Brees that. And he's very, like I said, complimentary of Michael Thomas. He actually uses Thomas as a way to kind of push the young stud that they got, A.J. Brown. Whenever they're during a break or in between periods, he'll tell him, hey, Mike Thomas is working. Go do something. And A.J. has kind of taken that to heart. It was a really good conversation, though. It was cool because I got to grab him. Unfortunately, I had to leave the Tannehill presser to go get the one-on-one, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do. Take one for the team. So I want you guys to hear this one on Kenny Vaccaro. Check this one out.
It's easy, really. In New Orleans, I was playing straight nickel, like whether it was 11 personnel, 12 personnel. We go three safeties, and if it was 11 personnel with all receivers, I guard the receiver. Mm-hmm. Here, I'm actually just playing safety, and I'm using all the, you know, the skills and a lot of things I got drafted for, I'm using at the safety position and not at the nickel position. You know what I'm saying? I think I can be a great, you know, athletic safety versus just a subpar, not even subpar, just a regular nickel. You know what I'm saying? I'm not
a solid
nickel. I'm not, you know, a lot of those guys have corner speed or, you know, twitchiness. But if you put me in the safety department, I think I can excel. You know what I'm saying? So
I told you the other day, Dean Pease, he said when he was evaluating you coming out of Texas, you gave him that Rodney Harrison vibe. He said you'll come up and smack someone, but he said you could play covers also. Has he talked to you about that? Or
he told me that this year. He came up to me and was like, I think I was stretching one day. He was like, I just want you to know you remind me of Rodney.
Yeah.
And that's a really, really big compliment. Mm. And I mean, I've always watched Rodney when I was younger, but I went and looked up, like, his stats. I got to look at I'm like, man, this guy had, 40-plus picks, 20-plus sack. He was doing, like, defensive player of the year type stuff every year. So for him to say that is truly an honor, and like, it makes me want to step on my game. He honestly told me that, like, I don't know how many weeks ago, but ever since then I've been like, man, Dean Bees, who's coached –
a lot of safeties, a lot of defensive players. Yeah,
I mean, Ed Reed's the best safety ever. You know what I'm saying? Just the fact that he's giving those, he's not just handing out those compliments. So it means a lot to me, and it means a lot coming from him.
And then when you move on, or actually when you look back, right, practice time, you got to go against Drew. You see him so surgical on Monday Night Football.
Exactly.
What did you see, in the time that you got to practice against him?
He's the best player I've ever been around. He's the most detailed person I've ever been around. He's just, I can't say any of good things about Drew Brees. Like, it makes me, I remember like as a young player, what time do you get to the facility? And like, I'd be like, all right, cool. And I saw him like 5 a.m, maybe 4:30. And then he's staying late because he never leaves his facility earlier. So he brings his family up there and his kids to play with, like to play in the pool and do things, in the turf room. And that just really showed me a lot. Like, you can still be a great pro, a Hall of Fame player, and still be a great dad, a great man off the field. They showed him the other day in the turf room by himself. I think Ryan Clark said, this is what makes Drew Brees great. It matters as you go of him going through mentally. So he'll go through the whole, 15-play script, I believe, by himself, going through the calls, going through the checks in his head, going through exactly what's going to happen in the game, every situation. He'll be sitting pregame. I remember, like, looking from my locker to his locker, and he's sitting down looking at the script, and he's looking at certain people. And I don't think he sees, like, teammates. I think he sees the opposing defenses, and he's going through, like, what's probably going to happen and what's going to transpire in the game. He's just the model player, like the model pro. Like, you want everything about him you want to be.
You see him murdering zone defense with Michael Thomas settling in windows, but Thomas is beating man defense. Yeah. What do you do against that offense?
I mean, I told my agent to sign him a long time ago. His rookie year, I said he's going to be one of the best players in the league. I told him that by his mentality, the way he catches the ball, the 50-50 balls, his work ethic is – I told A.J. Brown. I said Mike Thomas and Drew Brees are catching – I don't know how many balls after practice every day, but it was – by the time I got in the cold tub and showered up, they were still out there. So it's not just his, his God-given ability. It's his mind. He has an elite mind. He wants to be the best ever. He wants 50 balls a game if he can get it.
You keep every week, you keep the same mindset, of course, but it's got to be a little bit different this week going against your former team. Is that?
I mean, a little bit. At the same time, I was there for 5 years, I respect everybody over there. No bad blood. I love watching them. I love keeping up with those guys, see what they're doing. I love seeing the turnaround because when I was there, the defense is playing so well now, and they got things turned around. I know how hard it is and how hard those guys over there coach. So it's good to see it. But at the same time, for me, it's been 2 years, so it's not really a big deal.
Gotcha. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Kenny Vaccaro with TD one-on-one.
Yeah, I love talking to Kenny too, man, because you can feel his energy. But I really like in the beginning because I asked him what was the difference between playing here and playing in New Orleans, because it seems like Dean Pease, his scheme is so safety-oriented, and you saw how he lit up or heard how he lit up when he talked about that. So being as though I asked him what was different, got the chance to talk to Sean Payton on the conference call, and he was asked about Kenny Vaccaro. We had some reflection on Vaccaro from Payton, so let's check this one out.
He's playing well. He's a tremendous person. He was a fantastic player for us and addition for us. We drafted him. It was right when I had gotten back off the suspension. We took him in the first round. He's extremely athletic. He's passionate about football. He loves playing, and those are the things that you admire about him, and you see it on tape. You know, he's someone that has got very good cover skills. He's also a real good low zone player, someone that is a good pressure player, so you have to know where he's at. They do a good job defensively, giving you a number of looks, you know, a number of looks relative to pressures, be it zone or man pressures. But, yeah, he's someone that you have flexibility with him in that he can play a big nickel role, play down over a slot, and he can run.
A lot of praise from Sean Payton on his former player, Kenny Vaccaro. And, you know, I said that Dennis Kelly, one of the big pickups in the John Robinson tenure, well, you have to give him props on Kenny Vaccaro as well. And that one, they were just lucky because you had Cyprian go down with injury, be lost for the season in training camp last year. Kenny Vaccaro happened to be there on the street that they could pick him up, and he has been a tremendous addition to this defense over the last two seasons. So good stuff with Kenny Vaccaro and Sean Payton. When we come back, we will jump into Drew Brees and the passing game. How do you stop Michael Thomas? Can you stop Michael Thomas? We will try to answer that question when we come back. Chase and TD, ESPN 1025 The Game. Back here, Chase and TD, ESPN 1025 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. TD liking it, the No Limit Soldiers. So the theme this week is what? NOLA hip hop.
NOLA hip hop. We got Mystical. We got Master P. We bringing it all, man. Manny fresh.
Master P.
Young Weezy. Lil Wayne coming on.
Yeah.
Ooh, there we go. All right, that'll be some good stuff coming up later on. All right, so we heard from Kenny Vaccaro. He said that Drew Brees, I mean, he's just the player. I mean, that's what he is. He's just the guy that you want to model yourself after. So that passing game, we saw it Monday night. And look, Jeff Triplett laid it out that Drew Brees has had better seasons. He obviously had the injury, missed some time this year, but he's still just as effective as he always has been. And, oh, by the way, he has Michael Thomas, who is an absolute stud.
Mm-hmm. He's an outstanding player. And I think Michael Thomas,
I think he's 11 away from breaking the record.
Yeah, he has 133. Marvin Harrison was at 143, so he needs 11. Last week, 12 targets, 12 receptions.
Yep.
That was ridiculous. But the thing that makes him so special with him is just his feel and awareness for zone coverage. And it's crazy because that's what makes the going to him such a high percentage throw, because he just has a way of, if that first window isn't there, he'll pass through that one and settle into that second one and just give himself all the opportunity to make a catch. And when the ball comes near him, best believe that thing is getting hauled in, even if it's a contested pass. So when you're going against a Drew Brees and Michael Thomas connection, you go in like, man, you know what? It's a little tough to play zone against them, but you can't just not play zone against them. But at the same time, with all the concepts and the combo routes that they have working, where they'll, and the way they move Michael Thomas around, they always find a way to get him in position to make the reception.
Here's an interesting stat for you. Because I've worked with D-Mace, Derek Mason, for a long time, and he always liked to say that you get the ball near him, he caught it. He didn't drop passes.
Mm-hmm.
His career catch percentage, D-Mace was at 62.3, which is not bad at all.
No, that's good.
Pretty
actually.
Good. Michael Thomas, 78.8.
See what I'm saying? We're talking about 8 out of 10 times he's making the catch.
Only 6 times this year has he caught under 10 passes.
What's his average per reception?
His average,
we could go career, even since it seems like you had the career numbers up.
11.8.
Yeah,
that's his career.
Yeah, it's funny because the way that he produces, just as far as like volume to touchdowns, is a lot like his uncle Keyshawn.
Yeah,
Keyshawn Johnson is probably the only receiver I could ever think of to have 100 catches and one touchdown. But still, what I'm getting at is a lot of shorter routes is what he's running, and he's making his living across the middle. But it's really interesting because, like Mike Vrabel said, when I asked him about that offense earlier this week, they'll slant. Soon as they see you start sitting on that and trying to jump it, pump fake and go upfield, a slow go. So he will get you deep. He will get deep on you, you know, and they like to use him on that post too. So, man, he's tough to stop.
So the thing that concerns me, because, look, you're not going to stop Michael Thomas. Maybe you can slow him down. Maybe. But you're not going to stop him. I mean, that's facts. Especially with a banged-up secondary that the Titans have. Adoree Jackson will be out once again. I think it was yesterday or Wednesday, there was some hope that he'd be able to play.
Yeah, yeah.
But doesn't look – I mean, he's out. So he's not going to be able to play once again. Hopefully next week they get him back. But we'll see. That hurts. That hurts a lot because who are you putting on him? Who are you putting on Michael Thomas?
Yeah, that definitely hurts a lot. I don't know that I go into cat coverage against him. Like, I don't know if I say, Logan, hey, look, run with him or whoever. I think if there was a guy that I would be suited to do that, it would be Logan because he's so good at covering guys in the slot as well as outside. But I just...
Are you thinking zone is the way to go and not man-to-man?
I would go man at times, you know, and the advantage... It's crazy I'm saying this, but the advantage in going and doubling up Michael Thomas as opposed to DeAndre Hopkins is the whole concept of not having a quarterback that will go off schedule, right? So you know where Michael Thomas is going. You could bracket that, right? But when things go off schedule, you don't know where that guy's going. So it's a lot harder to cover that. I think that's an advantage. I wouldn't be surprised if you see a lot of double teaming against Michael Thomas and them daring someone else like a Tre'Quan Smith or Taysom Hill, daring those guys to be the ones to pick you apart as opposed to Mike Thomas.
So some other weapons that they have, we talked about Jared Cook that Titans fans may remember from his time here. I always say Cookie because Jeff Fisher loved Jared Cook. And then Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill's so fun. He's fun to watch. Yeah. And I get mad on Madden because you can't use him right. You know, you because sometimes he's a receiver, sometimes he's a running back, sometimes he's quarterback, sometimes he's throwing a block. I mean, they have those other weapons other than Michael Thomas.
Yeah, they definitely have other weapons. And you mentioned Jared Cook. One of the things that I've seen him do from time to time is they'll take him and they'll motion him across the formation. Right, and at the snap, he'll stalk and then release to a seam route. And you'll have Michael Thomas running a slant or kind of like a deeper slant. Not exactly a dig, but a deeper slant. And they'll work play action off of that. And Breeze will stare down Thomas on that crossing route, on that slant, and then go over top to Jared Cook. You can't do that unless you have a tight end that can run. And Jared Cook, he's has some ability to run. Oh, and by the way, Taysom Hill will line up outside of Michael Thomas and run a little comeback route just to draw some attention from the safety. So they have so many things that they do. And in watching them today, you saw the Titans, the DB coaches, you know, go through and present the different looks. And, man, there's so much that you have to cover when you're going against that team.
Is how the Saints and Sean Payton have used Taysom Hill just another prime example of how Sean Payton has stayed in this league, how he has evolved as a head coach, and not stayed in the league, but stayed with the Saints. I mean, he's made it fresh year in and year out, and I feel like Taysom Hill is a prime example of that because you got that once in a blue moon athlete.
Yeah, and here's the thing that I really like about Sean Payton is he's able to adapt and evolve. But at the same time, he always knows what he wants in the receiver. Like this stuff that Michael Thomas is doing, it's no surprise. When there's a guy by the name of Marquise Colston that I don't think that he was the most talented receiver, but they used to use him in the different roles. And then that same or different ways, and that same way that they used him, that's what they did with Jimmy Graham.
Right.
Right. And the way you see them using Michael Thomas is just a continued evolving of that position, right? That your money receiver position. And I think you have to credit Sean Payton for that. But then on top of that, even though you have an elite passer like Drew Brees, look at the other way he evolved and morphed, right? At one period, like Kamara and Mark Ingram. They were a power running team.
Yeah.
With a quarterback that could throw the ball 45 times and be successful if you wanted him to. So Sean Payton, he's done an excellent job throughout his time as a play caller. And I think you definitely have to shout that out.
He is Teron Davenport. I am Chase McCabe. Utah State, Kent State all tied up at 7. Jordan Love, 6 of 7, 48 yards early on in this game. We bring that up because, look, the Titans could need a quarterback in the draft. Jordan Love is somebody we have talked about a lot on this show. So we'll keep you posted on how he's doing tonight in the bowl game. When we come back in hour number 2, we'll get into the Titans offense. A.J. Brown continues to impress. We do that next. Chase and TD, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Oh, yeah, hour number 2, Chase and TD, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming all around the world on the Game Nashville app. You can also check us out on demand, Talking with TD. Search that in iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Podbean, wherever you get your podcasts, it is there. You get this show and Talking with TD, which you'll hear a little later on. So the Titans offense, I'm going to say this before I even set you up and let you go. This team has struggled to get a fast start going. You can't do that against the Saints. It takes Derrick Henry a while to get warmed up, to get going, to get feeling good. Obviously, you have the hamstring. If I'm Arthur Smith and I'm Ryan Tannehill, I'm going, hey, we're going to chuck that thing and see what happens from the first play. You got to get up early. I mean, that's really the only way they beat the Saints in my mind is if they really take it to them early. And you know what? They have the weapon that can do that. A.J. Brown, he's had 2 straight games of over 100 yards. He has been so impressive. Can he do it again?
They shot their shot last week too, right? They went deepy.
Yeah.
In that first series, AJ, man, I have to credit him, and we talked about it on Monday, just the way he fought through the a lot of receivers, right? When you're releasing and you're making that stick and then you go upfield,
yeah.
DBs, they're gonna get if you have them beat, especially a guy like Jonathan Joseph, who's his skills have kind of left him, they're gonna grab you. A lot of receivers are going to sit there and whine and look at the officials and say, hey, pass interference. Nah, not AJ. You saw that quick whack, smack the hand off of it and accelerate. And Tannehill put that thing up there. And just the way he just put his hands out at the perfect time and caught that, that's a sweet sign. So, yeah, he is a legitimate weapon. And when you look at AJ Brown, another 100-yard game, if he does that, that's 5 for the season.
Yeah.
And that's something that hasn't been done in quite some time, right, since Amari Cooper was a rookie receiver. And then on top of that, the record is by OBJ.
Mm.
Now, can he get 100 yards this week and 100 yards next week and break that record? I think it's possible.
Oh, sure.
I think it's definitely possible. And we're going to get into a little bit later in this segment, we're going to get into one of the things that may stop them from it, but – with AJ, what you're getting is just the total package.
Yeah.
Right? This is a guy that surprisingly has the breakaway speed once he gets the ball in his hands. But the thing is just the way that he converts into a running back so fast is outstanding. Right? He touches the ball, he's upfield right away. There's no shucking and jiving. He's getting right upfield immediately.
I'm going to say this. AJ, if you're listening, I know you are. What's up? Hotty toddy. Listen to this closely. Why don't you get 107 yards?
Hey,
do
that. That'd give him 1,000.
Because that'll put you at 1,000 for the first time for Titans receiver since I think Kendall Wright was the last to do it. I'm going to say this about A.J. Brown. And this, I don't think this is too bold because I think you'll agree with me. It's very easy to say, okay, rookie season, having a great rookie year. How many times do you hear they'll watch film, they'll figure him out. He'll fall down to earth sophomore year. It happens all the time. Could that happen? Sure. That's the NFL. You got to keep changing, got to keep evolving, offense, defense, whatever. I don't think that's going to happen. I think the Tennessee Titans have found their guy to be in the same ilk as a Derek Mason, a Drew Bennett, guys like that since they have been on Nashville soil as the Titans, somebody they've been looking for a long time, more than just a flash in the pan. I truly believe A.J. Brown is the guy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's clearly the guy. And for me, what stands out to me is the way you could use him. You could use him in the deep passing game. You could use him in the play action game. You could screen to him. Oh, and coming from Ole Miss, he was taught this mentality, the NWO, the nasty wideouts. No
block. Is it the New World Order?
No block, no rock. So he understands the importance in the blocking game, too. And that's what makes him just a complete, a total receiver. And here's the thing, man. Here's the thing. If you watch him, everything that he catches with his hands.
Yeah.
It's funny. It goes back to training camp, right? He was working on the jugs machine. And I remember I'm videoing. And I said, you know what, bunk that. We're going to do something a little bit different. I went and stood behind him. And I kept walking closer and closer. And he was like, come on, get closer. He said, you're in good hands with Allstate. That dude's catching ability is outstanding. And the confidence that he has in that, it shows in his yards after the catch.
Yep.
We talked about it. Most of the time you see a receiver slow down just slightly before the ball gets to him. He doesn't do that. He accelerates through it, and that's what allows him to get the yards after the catch. And you got to shout out Tannehill, too, because he does a good job of leading him, allowing him to speed up to the football and be able to catch it. He's such a good receiver.
And I know, you know, D-Mace, when I was doing the morning show, would say, you know, we'd be like, okay, what does A.J. Brown need to do to excel in this league? And one of the first things he said was, hey, when I got in and I was undersized and I was a fourth-round pick, I was making it on special teams, I spent every day on the jugs machine.
Yeah.
That's the only way you get better. I mean, you got to get the hands, and he has shown that he has that. So we asked the question of how you stop Michael Thomas. How do the Saints stop A.J. Brown?
Well, I mean, that's something that has to be looked at. Marshawn Lattimore is one of the best cover guys in the league. You see this guy going against another number 11, Julio Jones, and that's a pretty good back-and-forth battle. So I think if you get a guy with the feet that Lattimore has and the press ability and just the fluid movement, I think he's someone that could cover A.J. Brown one-on-one. But the thing is, that big body that A.J. has, and you say, okay, well, if he goes against Julio, what's the difference? The difference is I think A.J. has a little more physicality than Julio Jones. And I'm not talking about at the catch point. I'm talking about at the top of the route.
Right.
And he's able to use that body, the shoulders. You've seen A.J. in person. He's built like a basketball player.
Yeah.
That's the wide shoulders to the tapered waist. He has a basketball player's build. So, naturally, he's going to be good at boxing out. Right? So, and he doesn't always have to, you know, box out like Charles Barkley style, two hands to the side, holding the guy back. You could just use your naturally wide shoulders to shield the ball from the defender. And then it goes back to what we say. He catches everything with his hands.
Yeah.
So naturally everything is going to be a little bit smoother on those type of routes where you have to do that. So I think Lattimore, if he covers him, I think, you know, it's going to be a good back and forth. But here's the thing. If they do put Lattimore on A.J. Brown, that means that Sean Payton respects him.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you this. On a conference call, Sean Payton told us that they looked at and evaluated A.J. Brown heavily. My goodness. For the NFL's sake, it's a good thing that they didn't get him. You know what I mean? He fell to the Titans. But we got to talk to Sean Payton, and we got some stuff from him. So let's go ahead and listen to what he said about A.J. Brown.
The thing you see is the unusual combination of size, physicality, but he's got sudden feet. So, you know, his transition and his ability to separate match with his size. I mean, the game last week, the Texans had trouble handling him, period. I mean, you know, Tannehill back and forth, there were, it seemed like in one series, four or five plays. So he's a physical player that I think has got real good transitional and route acumen. I mean, this guy's someone that can really sink his hips, get in and out of cuts. He's an accomplished route runner.
Sean Payton on A.J. Brown. I'm going to say this. 32 teams in the National Football League. A.J. Brown was taken in the second round by the Tennessee Titans. 31 other teams, they stupid. They stupid for passing on him.
You know a crazy story about it? Because we had him on Talking with T.D., before the draft, and I joked with him because he was a Patriots fan.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots had the chance, But at 32, they took N'Keal Harry instead. A.J. really, really wanted to be a first-round receiver. And it's crazy that his favorite team
passed.
Had the chance, but they passed. But, hey, he's landed in a good spot. You hear Sean Payton talking about the route-running ability. Let me tell you something. That's something that has improved from the beginning of this year till now.
Yeah.
You see, and I remember in camp, even though he wasn't out there on the field, A.J. Brown, Rob Moore, and Corey Davis always together during any downtime. And they're talking through things. Rob, once he got out onto the field, Rob Moore started to work with him. And you saw A.J. go from someone who wasn't sudden at releasing off of the ball, right? And a big guy like that, you have to be sudden because you're a big target. It's easy to get the hands on you.
Yeah.
But you saw him get better there. Then at the top of the route, you know, you saw him not use so many moves at the top of the route. That stuff might work against Kentucky, right? But that's not going to work against Marshawn Lattimore and these D-backs, right? Pierre Desir on the Colts. It's not going to work against them. So he had to get that better too. And now is at a point now where you got a guy in Sean Payton saying, hey, he's an established route runner.
So real quick, but you know, A.J. Brown, we know he's been the top guy, but what more can the Titans get out of the passing game? We know Adam Humphries is going to be out once again. Corey Davis, up and down. I mean,
yeah.
he made some plays last week against the Texans, but there were also some plays that I'm sitting there in the press box going, Corey's wide open,
yeah,
and they're not getting the ball to him. So where does he fit into all of this? Is there maybe some frustration, or is it just, hey, you got to ride the hot hand, A.J. Brown's catching everything, that's just how it is?
There's 100% frustration. I talked to Corey on Wednesday. He's definitely frustrated. But what he's doing is finding other ways to contribute. And we mentioned over and over the slants that A.J. runs. Well, that's cleared out because you have Corey Davis running a seam route, right, to push the DBs back. But I think you do have to get him the football more. Those targets need to get up. And you don't want to tell a quarterback, hey, listen, make sure you're looking for 84. You don't want to tell him that because then you start force-feeding it.
Right.
Then you have turnovers. But what you can do, and Arthur Smith said that he's doing this, calling more plays where he's the primary read. But when you have a Tannehill, you know, it's a gift and a curse for some guys. It's a gift. For others, it's a curse. Because Tannehill, if it's not there – or if he doesn't see it, he's moving on.
He's moving on, yeah.
And, I mean, that's why he's not having so many turnovers.
That's why he's the starter.
That everything is moving more effectively. So, like I said, it's a gift and a curse. But I will say this also. We talk about the jugs machine, A.J. Brown, on them during training camp. Well, after practice today, Mike Vrabel, we're having a presser with him. I look over. I see Corey Davis on the jugs machine.
Chuk-oom.
See Jonnu Smith there, Chuk-oom. Too. You know what I mean? That's all you hear. Chuk-oom. That's all you hear over and over again. And he's putting in the extra work. So I'll give him that.
Yeah. Well, and look, that's what he needs to do because that's, you know, Tannehill is the quarterback because he could see that first read. Nope, move on.
Yeah.
Mariota, we knew that was a struggle for him, that if the first read was there, boom, good to go. Anything after that, it took a while. So that's just what A.J. Brown Corey Davis has to do. And look, Tannehill's going to have to carry this offense even more if Derrick Henry is not 100%. We'll talk more about Derrick Henry versus the Saints run defense when we come back. Chase and TD, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Go DJ.
Chase and TD, we're back.
I got my DJ behind the glass, Kenny, right here.
Kenny in for Calvin this week, doing a good job with on the ones and twos. Welcome back in, Chase and TD, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Teron Davenport of ESPN. And it is time for the hard-hitting question of the evening before we get into Derrick Henry. Are you going to go see Star Wars this weekend? Is that your thing? Or
listen, it's not my thing, but I will tell you this. I've watched all 7 episodes of The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And I was sick about the ending of this week's Mandalorian.
I haven't watched yet, so.
Yeah. Well, I'll leave it, but I'll just tell you this. Unlike every other story, I'm just going to leave it alone.
Okay.
I'll probably watch it
tonight because I knew it came out. I think it came out today or yesterday, the the seventh episode. So.
I got the notification on Wednesday. Yeah, I am a geek, a Mandalorian geek. I get notifications, right? I got it on Wednesday that a new episode was up. Hey, man, what can I say?
Baby Yoda is my dude.
Baby Yoda is that dude, man. Did you see? Oh, my God.
And all the memes.
That's where I was going.
Dude is a meme icon right now.
He is a meme icon. The funniest one, though, there's this Eagles fan back in Philly. We call him E-Rock, right? And he did – do you remember the scene where he was in the ship and he kept hitting the switch?
And
Mando was like, nah, stop. Yo, I still crack up about it.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
He did a meme, right? Because, you know, Meek Mill is that dude for the Eagles, right? He did the meme, and they were just sitting there quiet, and Baby Yoda's making his faces, and he hits the switch. And then Meek is like, I remember times like this. And then Boba Fett shut Star Wars. Mando shuts it off. And then he hits it again, and it goes later on in the song. And then Mando shuts it off, and then you see Baby Yoda's little ears go like a little crazy. And then he hits the beat, hits the switch, and the beat comes in, and the screen shakes right as the beat comes in. I was crying.
I've seen that.
Yeah, that stuff was so funny. But, I mean, this is a Titan show. We're talking about we'll Mandalorian, get back but, hey, it is what it is.
Hey, sometimes we just talk. That happens.
Freaky Friday.
So, Derrick Henry versus Saints run defense. Now, he did practice more this – he didn't practice at all last week. He actually did practice some
twice
this week. You were there. So, what did you – let's start with that. You watch him, and I know you don't get to see everything, but – from what you did get to see, how did he look?
Well, the first day, Wednesday, right, he didn't take part in the running back drills, but he spent a lot of time with Arthur Smith, and they were just working on, like, coming off of the ball. He didn't take place in all of the individual drills, actually. But then he carried the ball a couple times, like, where they just, you know, work on their getting their depth and you know, where they need to plant and cut back. It's not full speed, so it's hard to tell. Yeah. You know what I mean? But you couldn't see any limp or anything like that. He was in the locker room more this week, too, so that's a good sign because last week he wasn't as visible to us. A lot of treatment was probably happening behind the scenes. I asked him after the game. I was like, hey, Derek, man, question for you. You know, I asked him about the treatment, you know, that he expected he was going to get, and he was like, man, I don't know if I should be telling you that. And we both just laughed. So I can't tell you what happened this week as far as how that injury was treated. It's hard to really tell you how he looked because he didn't really do much. You know what I mean? You did see him do some of the blitz pickup work that they've done also. Today, Fridays, you don't really see much from them, even if they're 100% healthy. So long story short, I can't really tell you, but from the vibe that I'm getting, and from other observations, like him in the locker room more, I think he's in a better situation. And obviously that's the case because he's not showing up on the report as far as game status.
So what do you think he's going to look like against that Saints run defense?
Well, that's a good question. You know, one of the things that's good for the Titans is the Saints, they're down some of their guys, right? Marcus Davenport, little big cuz I call him. He's not going to be there. Right. And then you have Sheldon Rankins out.
Yep.
These are guys that really help them in run defense. But they still have Cam Jordan. And let me tell you something. Cam Jordan is a dog. So that makes it a little tough. Right. And here's the thing. When he's in that picture, it makes it a lot harder because they play him inside. They play him outside. And then their linebackers flow to the ball really well, too. So it's going to be tough for Derrick Henry. I still expect him to get 20 carries. I think he's going to get in that range. And I just don't know how explosive he's going to be. That's the problem.
Here's the deal. And Derrick Henry knows this. And I saw the quote. I don't know exactly what he said, but as long as my leg's not hanging off, like, I'm good to go.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really how you have to treat it. You run him until he can't run anymore. I mean, that's just kind of how it is. He's a catalyst for this offense. I was on a radio station in Mobile, Alabama before the show, and they said, well, how do you stop the Saints? And I go, well, you don't, but you got to keep up with them. You got to score points, and you got to have a Derrick Henry that can give you 20-plus carries. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's how it is with him. And Look, you look at the defense for the Saints. I mean, Von Bell's out. Kiko Alonso, he's going to be out. You mentioned the other players that you mentioned that have been put on IR. I mean, they got some bodies down on defense. So if he gets to that second level, even if he doesn't have that explosiveness, I still think he can be effective.
Gardner Johnson, though, watching that Colts game, that dude was a force. And he played in the box a lot, and he made some plays, whether it was blitzing or just, you know, just being there and making plays against the run. So he's someone that you definitely need to watch. But like Triplett mentioned, with Von Bell being out, that's one less body. So now when they go to sub packages,
yeah,
they're not going to be as strong against the run. What do the Titans do a lot of? A lot of 11 personnel,
yep,
right? So now when you have 11 personnel, you have three receivers on the field. That third receiver is going to be Tajay Sharp, who is still an adequate guy working the middle of the field. May not give you the same yards after the catch. But anyway, you're forcing the Saints to be in more sub packages. So that's a good situation as far as running the football against them, and that kind of adds to the guys who are out along the front.
Yeah, so we'll see how the matchups come. I mean, look, if he's not 100%, then – so I'll go back to another thing that we were talking about with Ryan Tannehill. So let's say that you don't have Derrick Henry at 100%, and – how much can Ryan Tannehill do to put the offense on his shoulders? We talked about A.J. Brown. We talked about Corey Davis. You just mentioned Tajay Sharp. I mean, look, his receiving core has been banged up too.
Yeah.
Doesn't have Adam Humphries, who was just starting to really just come into his own before he got hurt. So can Tannehill put it on his shoulders and take over?
We'll see. I think that's something that really is – good. It's funny.
I need your hot toddy recipe. I think
Tanny took it, and you see what Tannehill took it, and you see. But no, I mean, I think that's something that's really good for Tannehill. It's good for the Titans too. I hate to say, and it's crazy to say, a limited Derrick Henry could help the Titans. I don't think it's going to help them now, but long term, because this is going to give you a chance to see, okay, really, how effective can this guy be for us? In a situation where we need him to take over. That's what they're going to be thinking, you know. So my thing is, I think he can do it. And what he has to do is just stay in rhythm, right? Stay on schedule. It's funny you talk about Watson. It's all about getting off schedule. With him, you want to stay on schedule. And I think Tajay Sharp has to play a big role. And with Humphries not being there, you have to have somebody work in the middle of the field. Even though Tannehill is very confident, I think you still need someone there in that safe zone, right? Between the hashes, squaring up and being there for him to make those high percentage throws. So I think they can do it. I think it actually is a good thing for them going that style of play where I'm talking about working the ball down the field. I'm talking about drives.
Yeah.
And they've already shown that they could 14-play drive, 12-play drive. They've already shown that they could do that. I think that's going to be huge because the whole objective, when we didn't get into it enough with Drew Brees, you want to get him antsy, right? And you want to get him to take those shots and do things with the ball he may not normally do, but because of being impatient and not having the ball, that time of possession – that time of possession on offense is a defensive thing also. So I think if they could just work those drives and just little by little get down the field, I think they'll be all right.
How effective do you think somebody like a Janoris Jenkins that just got there is going to be?
Look, man, I'm going to say this, right? He's not the same player he was a couple years ago.
Yeah.
He's not. And then even
– but is he better than Eli Apple? Because I think Eli Apple is somebody
not
you,
saying much.
But I think that's somebody you can exploit. I mean, if I'm Tannehill, I'm throwing at Eli Apple.
Oh, yeah. I'm going at him seriously. But I don't think you just drop Janoris into that. It's tough because that you have to have that relationship with your – Janoris Jenkins at his best, he was always a very aggressive guy. He's jumping routes, right? You're not going to jump routes as aggressively if you don't trust the guy over top of you, right?
Right.
Your safeties. And it's just tough to trust a guy after having 1 week a time with them. It's just the way it is. So I don't think he's going to be that effective.
When we come back here on Chase and TD, I've been waiting all show for this. Teron is going to give us the playoff scenarios for the Tennessee Titans. How can they play January football with two games left? We will discuss that next. Chase and TD, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase and TD, ESPN 102.5 The Game. A little NOLA hip hop for you on a Friday night. Chase McCabe, Teron Davenport of ESPN, Kenny on the ones and twos behind the glass. So let's talk some playoffs.
Playoff
scenarios for the Tennessee Titans, the two-tone blue. Now, losing last week was not the end of the world. It made things tougher, especially to try and win the AFC South. However, it is still possible. Now, I'm not stealing your thunder. I'm just going to point out the most obvious thing. We will have an answer on something by 3:30 tomorrow afternoon, because if the Houston Texans defeat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they are the AFC South champions.
Right.
That is a done deal.
And they're facing the Bucs team without Mike Evans.
I don't know who they're throwing
to. Chris Godwin, Rashard Perryman. Justin Watson is a nice receiver, too. Yeah. But, I mean, you got to dig deep to mention a name like that.
He's not Mike Thomas or Chris Godwin.
I would say no.
Have they called you? Have they called you to come out of retirement as a receiver to go down right there?
I'm not pro level. Never was. But Derek Mason might be on the.
Or they had shoulder surgery. He's on IR.
Well,
so he's out.
Keep him moving. Call Chris Sanders or Kevin Dyson.
There
right?
you go. They might be able to.
But no, seriously, that is what has to happen from a Texans perspective. They need to beat the Bucs in order to clinch the division title this week. Obviously, if they lose, they could clinch it next week with a win over the Titans, but that's pretty much it for the wild card, or excuse me, for the division title, right? The Titans need the Bucs to win, and they have to beat the Saints, and they have to beat the Texans.
I'm going to say this, though. I think the Texans are going to win tomorrow, but they laid an egg against Denver a few weeks ago that nobody really saw coming.
Yeah.
And it was the worst game they played all year. So who knows? I mean, it's a short week, but I don't really think that matters all that much. And like you said, a couple big-time receivers out for the Bucs. But it would be so NFL and so Titans if Houston loses and then the Titans beat the Saints and that game all of a sudden is for the division once again in Houston.
Yep. It would be so Titans. Here's another thing that would be so Titans. If the Texans win.
Okay.
I've heard different theories that say, hey, you know what? This Saints game really isn't important. Bench Derrick Henry.
Oh, no.
How do you feel about that?
No.
Right.
Here's the best. You know what the best way to get in the playoffs with all these scenarios that we're throwing out there? The best thing that the Titans can do, win the next two games and let the chips fall where they may.
Thank you. And
I don't want to hear this business of, I just said it. That's the part of the league. If you put him out there and he does enough to help you win, and then all of a sudden it comes out like, hey, it's shot. He's done. Well, you know what? That sucks, but that's the way it goes sometimes.
What did Herm Edwards say?
You play to win the game.
You play to win the game. Hello? And that's my whole thing. Yeah. I would absolutely not bench Derrick Henry this week. I can't support that.
No.
Right? And the reason why people are saying that is they're saying, okay, well, if the Steelers lose one of the next two games, if the Steelers and the Titans finish with the same record, the Titans have the tiebreaker.
Okay.
But if the Steelers, Titans, and Colts finish with the same record, guess what happens?
Right.
The Titans are knocked out.
Right.
The Colts are going to knock the Steelers out by way of divisional record.
Now, I thought the Colts had been eliminated.
The Colts will be eliminated by the Steelers.
Gotcha.
You see what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
So that's the issue, because the Steelers have the the head-to-head over the Colts.
Now, where are the Browns are still technically alive, aren't they?
Well, what's Cleveland's record?
Cleveland is 6-8.
6-8.
Raiders are 6-8. So if you go to NFL.com, you have in the hunt the Titans at 8-6, and then the Browns and the Raiders.
Yeah, I the Titans would knock the Raiders out because of head to head.
Right.
The and the Browns. So
right.
If everybody finishes 8-8, my thing is this, like you said, you win the game and the next two games and you see where the chips fall. There is no, okay, well, you know what? The Steelers are facing the Jets. If the Jets beat them, no. Because guess what could happen?
Well, I believe the Jets are going to beat the Steelers.
I tend to believe that, too.
I think Le'Veon is going to be like, sup.
Revenge. Sweet revenge. I got him on my fantasy
and you know
team
what I
too.
Learned today that I didn't know? You what? Probably knew this. I didn't know Hines Ward was an offensive assistant for the Jets.
Yeah. Yeah, old Hines Ward. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I didn't know that.
He said, look, man, I want a Gatorade bath when we win this game.
Yeah.
That's what he said. But who's to say that the Ravens in the season finale don't rest Lamar? I don't think they do. I think the Ravens.
You don't?
I think the Ravens, not for the whole game. Why? Why rest him?
I worry. I mean, with his style of play that.
With this again, man.
What
is it about his style of play? But let me ask you, what is it about his style of play?
Look, he's a runner. I mean,
how many times have you seen him actually get hit?
I understand. No, you're right.
When you're running the football, you legitimately have control of the hits that you take, especially the way that they use him. How many times have you seen someone try to tackle him and he gives him that old whoop whoop?
Right.
And that linebacker or that DB is on the ground and then he'll step out of bounds. You get hurt more in the pocket than running.
I will say that you can play him if you sit down in a room with him and you have that talk of, if you have any type of worry at all about getting hurt in week 17 in a game that doesn't matter, you are not playing.
Yeah.
If he's like, hey, I'm good to go, I'm going in like we got to win this game, then okay, let him play for a quarter and then put RG3 in.
You go into a game worrying about injury, you're going to get injured.
Exactly.
So you don't worry about injury. You suit up, you have the understanding it could happen, but you know what? I'm balling either way. And here's the thing. I don't know that there's a more intense rivalry in the NFL than Ravens versus Steelers, right? And I get it. The Ravens have that division sewn up. You still got to keep that momentum going into the playoffs. I don't think it would be wise to bench. And I don't think that's something that Harbaugh would do. But then again, this is the NFL. But my point is, getting back to the Steelers, is who's to say that doesn't happen, right? And then the Steelers go in there and roll. So now you're like, okay, they're 9-7. The Titans are 8-8. They benched Derrick Henry in a game that might have been winnable.
Right.
And now you don't do that. That's rolling the dice the wrong way.
Well, and that's why I say just take care of your own business.
Exactly.
Because, look, Cleveland – they're pretty much out of it. They hate Baltimore, too. So, I mean, the fan base hates Baltimore because that's the old Browns.
But they're just, bottom line, not
no, they're not
in the league to compete with the Ravens. They
but
can't
they beat,
compete
they beat them once already this year.
Yeah, that was before they got rolling.
I understand.
This Ravens team is different.
I know.
That was a Ravens team, if I'm not mistaken. They didn't have Marcus Peters on that defense.
Nope.
They didn't have that swagger that they did, that they have now. So it was a different thing.
But when you look at a rivalry-type game, and I'll say this for the next 2 weeks, you don't just walk in and put a W on the
– No, no,
and
not
so
at all.
I think Cleveland knows that they're out of it. You know, Freddie Kitchens, I don't care what they say, he's fighting for his job. It's not going to be a walk in the park for them either. So, but if you're the Titans, you just got to take care of your own business. I mean, that's what you have to do. And look, so there could be a scenario where the Texans sew up the division tomorrow and they rest everybody against the Titans. That could happen. I mean, there's all these different things. But for the Titans to make the playoffs, you have a scenario where Houston loses to Tampa, Titans beat New Orleans. That game in Houston in Week 17, winner gets the division. Now, I don't know if the loser would necessarily get the wild card. that all depends on what Pittsburgh does the next 2 weeks as well, correct?
Yeah. The Titans, they just need to finish with at least the same record as the Steelers. That's what they need, at least the same record as the Steelers.
So the Titans essentially have to win – they really need to win one of the next two to get the wild card and have Pittsburgh lose one of them.
The thing that's so crazy is they could lose two of the next two and have the Steelers lose two of the next two and the Colts lose once and they're in the playoffs at 8-8.
Hmm.
But it's just you're asking for too many things.
Yeah.
Right? You're asking for the Jets and a possibly depleted Ravens team to beat the Steelers.
I know one thing, and I'm saying it. If this team goes 9-7 and they miss the playoffs, number one, you're going to hear a lot of complaining about, well, you know, Mike Mularkey did that, and he actually won a playoff game. Yeah. And then you're going to hear a certain fan base going like, well, doesn't look much better, does it? Yep.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
Marcus did 9-7. Mm-hmm. You're going to hear that too.
Yeah.
But I'll say this, and I think we talked about this on Monday. No matter what happens, there are two records you have to look at to evaluate this season. Mm. The overall record and the Tannehill record.
Yeah.
You have to look at both because they're both important.
I just wonder if Tannehill ends up – if they end up at 6-4 with Tannehill as the starter, like what do you – how do you
That, you know, that changes things.
Right. He's 6-2 right now. That would mean they lose to the Saints. They lose to the Ravens.
And then it's going to get real interesting when, you know, Tommy's sitting out there calling up Vrabes going, hey, what's up, Mike? What's going on? How you doing? What's J-Rob up to?
That's something, man. People are holding on to that, man.
I'm not holding on to it. I'm just saying.
I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying, it can't get
interesting. I'm just saying, like, it could happen.
So let me ask you, though, if they do that, how many years does he buy you?
Well, I mean, you're probably drafting a quarterback.
That almost puts you immediately in the future quarterback business, right?
I mean, you might be drafting somebody.
Yeah.
But, look, I don't think it's going to happen, but it's
– it's out there.
It's out there.
It's out there.
In the words of Juice, I'm just saying. By the way, did you see his latest video?
I did.
He's in his fantasy football championship.
The one where he drafted Andrew Luck. Yeah.
His quarterbacks are Matt Ryan and Phillip Rivers. And I looked at Darren and go, I don't know how he got to the championship with those two. But then he's got Michael Thomas, Nuke Hopkins, and AJ Brown.
Does he really?
I'm like, okay, well, that's how he got there.
Juicing. He's getting it, man. Yeah. So yo, he's a must-follow on Twitter.
Oh, the videos are fantastic. All right, when we come back, the Mac Daddy of the week and our players to watch on offense and defense of both teams. Chase and TD, ESPN 1025 The Game. We're back. Chase and TD, back that thing up. ESPN 1025 The Game. I think the
I heard this song in some places I got no business. I had no business being in, but you know what?
So this is like this was like 7th, 8th grade for me.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm a little bit older.
We'd have our dances and everything, and that's when the guys, the age, we kind of learn like, "Hey, we kind of like it when they back that thing up, if you know what I mean."
Were they able just leave it alone.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, that's a coming of age song. Let's just put it that
Herm
way.
Edwards, Don't Press
In. Yeah, Don't
just
Press In.
Popped into my mind, man. I said, no, I won't.
Don't
do
Press
it.
In. All right, so we will get to the Mac Daddy here in just a second because our main man Kenny's been doing a great job behind the glass. Calvin, who graduated last week, did not tell him where the Mac Daddy is.
And man, you're not supposed to tell the Shaolin secrets, man. We could have just kept this thing
rolling. I know,
rolling.
But no, young man's got to learn. And
I understand I'm an outsider and everything.
No, you're good. You're good. No, I just like to pick
Never
on Calvin.
Never tell the Shaolin secrets.
I like to pick on Calvin because he's not here to defend himself.
Oh, that's cool. That's
cool. I'm kidding. Hey, we're proud of Calvin. He graduated this week.
Yeah, congratulations on that, man.
So we'll start with players to watch. We'll do that. Our players to watch on offense and defense for both teams. Let's start with the offense for the Tennessee Titans.
Well, I mean, I alluded to it earlier. Tajae Sharpe is my player to watch. I mean, yeah, A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, Derrick Henry. Those are like lobs. They're softballs. We know that. Tajae Sharpe, I think, is going to be important taking on that role, right? That short passing game as an extension of the running game role. The guy that will help give them more downs for other guys to get the football. I don't expect Tajae to have a lot of catches, but I think there will be key catches. And he's that guy that's going to be a crucial part of moving the chain. So Tajae Sharpe is the guy that I would say is the one to watch on offense from a strategic standpoint.
I'm going to go with somebody that you bring up making some big catches, Jonnu Smith. Jonnu Smith has been an effective player for the Titans since Delanie Walker was shut down. Look, he had the 57-yard run last week. He ran down Whitney Mercilus to stop him from going and getting six. So Jonnu Smith has shown his athleticism, and also Ryan Tannehill has shown that he's comfortable throwing the ball to him. And the first game that Tannehill started, he found Jonnu Smith. So that's who I'm watching on offense.
I'm not mad at that. Jonnu is a guy that, you know, obviously I think highly of, you know, so seeing him get a chance to make plays this year is a good thing. I'm going to stay at the tight end position on the opposite side, for the Saints. And Jarrett Cook is the one I think is the one to watch. Say it one more time.
Cookie. Still player, Jarrett Cook. Really good for a ball club.
But he's the one. And my thing is this, right? It's about matchups, and it's about finding other ways to beat a team. I think Michael Thomas is going to draw all of the attention from the Titans defense. So that being said, there's going to be, hey, look, somebody else is going to have to win, have to beat them. And I think he's the guy, and I touched on earlier how to use him in motion and work plays off of that. They get him open, you know, and Drew Brees will go to him. And when that offense was really, really rolling, he was the guy for them. I've seen him have a little bit, not struggles, but not be as smooth, as well-oiled without him. So, yeah, man, I'm going tight end, Jarrett Cook, former Titan.
In the backfield for the Saints, we always talk about Alvin Kamara, and rightfully so. Alvin Kamara leads the way, 678 yards rushing, but, I mean, he has 485 yards receiving. He deserves a lot of respect. However, I'm going to go with Latavius Murray. So I think Latavius Murray is a big part of this offense, too. He's somebody you have to respect, and while he doesn't get the same amount of praise as Alvin Kamara, you have to respect him. 562 yards on the ground.
Yeah, and he's a big, hard runner, and he's a guy I've seen them go to him in the screen game, too, and they do that pretty well. So that's not a bad pick, man. I tip my cap for you not picking one of the obvious ones.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? I went a little outside the box.
Yeah, hey, I'm not mad at you. So defensively for the Titans, I'm taking the Logan Ryan route. By the way, Logan had a really good gift. You know, Santa Logan.
Yeah, I saw
today,
that.
The Guardian game system.
Yeah.
This thing has a TV attached to it, man. I checked it out. $700, $699.99 is what it retails. But he bought 10 of them for his guys, man. So
that's very cool.
He could be a Mac Daddy for that. But yeah. We'll get Mac Daddy in a second. But he's my guy to watch on defense. I just think, you know, when they move Mike Thomas around, especially when they put him at the slot, I want to see that matchup. And then also finding another way to get Drew Brees to have those happy feet in the pocket. How do you do that? You blitz him. He's the most successful DB as far as blitzing off the edge. He's my player to watch.
Here's mine. Again, going a little outside the box. Jarrell Casey, and you have talked about him a lot on this show, about they've put him at defensive end because of Jeff Simmons and you know, working different packages with him. I saw this week, and I think it was you that put it out there, the video of him working with
hadn't seen that before.
Yeah, with Harold Landry and with the linebackers and doing different things. Look, Grimace, as you call him, the old man, I mean, he is showing his versatility. And you know, has he had a Jarrell Casey-like season like we've seen in the past? No, but I think showing some of that versatility has been good. I'm going to be watching 99.
Good one. Good one. Defensively, Demario Davis is the guy to watch, in my opinion, for the Saints. And he is probably the best cover linebacker in the league right now. That Colts game, he showed it.
Yeah.
Attached himself to Jack Doyle. So, yeah, I'm going to Mario Davis. Let's see if he could attach himself to Jonnu Smith, a guy who you said is the offensive player to watch.
So I'm going to pay attention to this guy, hopefully for the wrong reasons for the Saints, Eli Apple.
Mm.
I think if you're going to try and exploit the Saints defense early and get on the board, if you're the Tennessee Titans, if you're Ryan Tannehill, I need that hot toddy.
You need it.
Ryan Tannehill exploiting them, you go to Eli Apple early. I think, you know, he's going to be the one to go to. So it is time now for the Mac Daddy.
Who's the Mac Daddy?
Hey, girl, you know
what's
happening? There we go. The Mac Daddy.
We got a run for it. Coming
up, play with y'all. So, the Mac Daddy of...
Mac Daddy.
Mac Daddy, Mac Daddy, Mac Daddy. The Mac Daddy of the week is always goes to the player that really stands out to us. And I think I have to do it for the first time this year, 2 weeks in a row. A.J. Brown. Gotta be, right? Gotta be A.J. Brown. 8 receptions, 114 yards, including the touchdown. Thank you, A.J. That helped my fantasy team. 13 targets for Ryan Tannehill.
No dispute from
you. You never argue about A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry. You want to either make me talk a lot for or not make me talk against? Those are the guys you bring up.
So as we close this out, I'm going to do something different. Since we're ending with the Mac Daddy, who has to be the Mac Daddy for the Titans to win?
Derrick Henry has to be the Mac Daddy.
DH22, the Mac truck.
The F-150.
Boom, 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 boom. Mm-hmm. Warm that bad boy up.
That's, who you say?
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think it's got to be Derrick Henry. It's got to be him. 100% or not, it's definitely got to be him. That's going to do it for another edition of Chase and TD. Have a Merry Christmas, everyone. We're going to be on next Thursday, not Friday. The Predators are playing. So we will be on next Thursday night. So Kenny, TD, Merry Christmas to you and your family. Stick around, though. More Teron talking with TD. That's next. ESPN 102.5 The Game.